What episode are we on, Mike? Is that on my paper? Episode 16. Welcome to episode 16 of the Bobbycast. I'm your host, Bobby Cast. That's correct. Here with Brandon Ray on Twitter, Brandon Ray Music. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, so I think our talk's a little different than any of the talks that I've had with an artist before. Because I think with you, you're right in the middle of the try.
Right.
Like, you're right in the middle of trying to find your spot, wherever it is in this industry. And in the past, that's what's cool about this. I can do whatever I want. In the past, I've had people who have made it as great songwriters, people who have made it as artists. Like, you're just pretty mediocre right now, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's my middle name, so.
Listen, Brandon is one. I've played him on the show before. Like, he's that good. So we'll talk to Brandon right after this message from Blue Apron, by the way. You ever had Blue Apron?
Blue Apron. That's great.
Dang,
I love it.
That's a heck of a jingle. Listen, Blue Apron is awesome. Without them, we would not be able to do this Bobbycast. And so let me tell you what Blue Apron does. They send food. You ever had Blue Apron? You can say no. It's okay.
One time.
You had it sent to your house, or did someone cook for it?
Somebody cooked it for
Okay.
Me, yeah.
So what happens is they send you the food, and it comes in a box, and it's not made already. So you're not ordering food that's already cooked. You're ordering ingredients. And they send you all the ingredients that are already prepackaged, and they're pre-measured. So you don't have to go buy a whole jar of something for a pinch. So you take that, and they give you – this is the only reason that I can even get away with it – is that they give you the card, and it tells you exactly how to make the stuff. And so it's all fresh ingredients, and so that's what Blue Apron's all about, variety. And it's flexible. It's easy. You can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping. BlueApron.com/BobbyMeals. Do you cook for your wife ever?
I do.
So
yes.
you're a good cook? Well, you can totally fool her and have this sent to, you know, your side chick's house. Take
right.
that and then cook. And not at least she doesn't know.
She doesn't even know.
BlueApron.com/BobbyMeals. You love how good it tastes and feels. You'll create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. Again, to get the deal, BlueApron.com/BobbyMeals. That's one word. I say meals like I'm from Arkansas. So it's Bobby, M-E-A-L-S, Bobby Meals, meal, whatever. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Thank you, Blue Apron, for sponsoring this. Now, Brandon Ray is here, at Brandon Ray Music on Twitter and Instagram. Is that the same? Yeah. All right, so let me tell you, I want to start with today and kind of work all the way back around, because Brandon's an interesting story. Brandon's so good, I said, hey, will you come out and play a few shows with us with the Raging Idiots? And he has, and I really didn't know how good he was until we got on the road. Like, I already knew he was good. And then he's, like, mind-blowingly good to actually stand beside and play. And I don't just say that about anybody, because I get to see everybody. So, that being said, Brandon Ray, I'll play you a song right now that Brandon has out. This is called American Way. Here we go. All week, in a smokestack down to the freaking weekend comes rolling around, and we party all sleep all day, baby, ain't that the American way? Yeah. Brandon's also a fantastic guitar player, so I'm going to play this. This is That Could Be Us from Brandon Ray. That could be us by sunrise, still haven't said goodnight, first time feeling, don't want to lose. That could be me, that could be you. All right, we'll come back to the music. Now, I'd like to be as honest as possible. As of right now, you do not have a record deal.
I do not, no.
Okay, so here you are, you're in town, you're grinding, you're playing. You're like 99% of the rest of Nashville.
Right.
You're really good, and you don't have a record deal right now.
I don't.
So what has that process been like? Like, have you played for people? Like, Caitlin came in and talked about every time she played Caitlin Smith, she played for some people, and they'd all say no. No, 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 no. Like, whatever it is right now, no. Have you been through that where you've played, and they go, no, not right now?
We've taken a little swing a couple of times. But
what's
not
that mean?
Like I have a publishing deal with Sony ATV,
which means
town.
You write.
I write songs right. for a living, for you know artists, for TV film syncs, for you know myself. That Sony then takes those songs, pitches them, and what they have is an artist development branch inside the publishing company that kind of does like a, they help you with recording, they help you with touring, like, oh, I just booked a show with Jake Owen in Vegas. You know, it's going to cost this much, I might lose this much, and they make up the difference.
So
things like that.
Okay, so you have a publishing deal, and that's how you eat plus touring.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So that's your job, but you want to be an artist.
I do. I you know, right now for me is building. It's the building phase of touring my butt off, like every single weekend. I think I've been gone Thursday through Sunday every weekend since February. And it's so important right now to build that fan base, whether it's being out with you guys, which I can't thank you enough for inviting me out with the Raging Idiots, because it's been such a blast. Like, the fans show up. I mean, every single show is sold out. Like,
and it's crazy.
I don't think people realize how big it is and how fun it is. And just those chances and believers like you that just say, hey man, come hang. And then we get to know each other and you know, promote things for me or, you know, share a post of mine or share a song on your show. It means everything to someone like me, because I don't have a label. I don't have the radio support right now. And, right now, you know, for the past 6 to 8 months has been just grind and just going town to town to town, building, and making believers out of everybody I play for, all of the headliners I open for, and even the club and theater owners that I play.
Talk about the headliners that you've opened for that have said, hey, come out on the road because I think you're pretty good. Who have you played for that you're like, dang, this is really cool?
Recently, man, there's been just a lot of really cool people. John Party has just kind of overwhelmed me with he's just such a nice guy. And his fan base is growing rapidly.
That's what happens when you get a number one song and then another great song.
Yeah, yeah. Man. And yeah. Even before, I was playing with him even before Boots went number one. I think it was in the top 20. And his fans knew every single word to every song. Even like the B-sides of his album. You know, he'd be like, I'm going to take it back to, you know, one of my first releases in 09. And he plays it and the crowd just takes over. And so that just taught me, he's taught me so much about just kindness and how to treat people. And guys like John Party, guys like Kip Moore, Martina McBride has had me out on a few runs, which that was so cool. You know, getting to just kind of be a part of a show that she's doing. And guys like David Nail. I'm going this weekend out in the Midwest doing some shows, and then next weekend with Frankie Ballard. And it's all about the hang. You know, I used to play guitar for different artists in town, one in particular being Brett Eldridge.
I think that's where we met the first time.
I think so,
I was shooting a TV thing with Brett where we laid in the bunk together, and you were playing guitar for Brett Eldridge.
That's right, yeah.
The thing about Brandon is I didn't like Brandon the first time I really hung out with him. Like, I thought, what a douchebag.
Yeah.
For about 2 hours.
Because thanks, man.
What happened was, no, this is the true story. Okay. I judged him simply on his hair. Like,
right.
Because
I'm about to shave it.
No. Actually, I like it now, but it was spiked, you know? Okay. And I was like, okay, dude, spiked hair. Come on. So he gets on with someone that I just think is phenomenal. Like, Lucy Silvas went out with us on the road and is quite possibly one of my favorite people and artists in Nashville.
Bobby,
thank you so much for having me on the road, and thank you so much for just being a great friend. So Lucy Silva and Brandon plays guitar for her, and I was like, hey, just take the bus with us. Like, don't drive, don't pay for expenses, just get on the bus and you can sleep on the bunks. And so I thought Brandon was a total douche. And so at the end of the night, it was just Brandon and I, and we talked for like 4 hours. It was like a brand new couple. You know how you meet somebody and you're like, we just talked all night long. I think I'm in love. And that's how it was with Brandon. And so, you know, with us, we either had Nat with the Raging Idiots, we'd either take Natalie Stovall or Lindsay L. And then for some reason, not for some reason, they're both phenomenal. They were doing their own tours. And I was like, we need another player. Let's get Brandon, because he was. And so now we'll just have Brandon come out with them. And listen, I don't have lead singer disease, which means I don't have to sing all the time or half the time. When you have somebody like Brandon, it's like, all right, you take it away. Here's Brandon, everyone. And Brandon like blows you away when he sings. Now let's go back for a second, because I have some stuff here. This is a jingle called "Let's Go Cubs." So this is you.
Yeah.
And how long ago was this?
This was in 07, so almost 10 years ago.
Okay, here we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, did you write? Did you write that?
No,
okay,
no, no.
Good. That's a terrible song. It's but
awful.
You sang it well. And listen, for me, I'm a diehard Cubs fan.
Yeah.
And it's weird too because I also like the Cardinals a lot. And as you get older, you realize that I like as a kid, I was not a Cardinals fan because I was a Cubs fan. But then I had friends that played for the Cardinals.
Right.
And then I got to know the organization. And so, you know, I'm a diehard Cubs fan. Brandon and I were talking about this a minute ago. Like, right now, you may hear this in a month and the World Series may be over. Maybe the Cubs got swept. Maybe they won it. At this point, we don't know. It's 1-0. I'm a diehard Cubs fan. And people are like, oh, bandwagoners, we hate them. I don't care if they're bandwagoners. I don't care if you call me a bandwagoner because I only care about my heart.
There you go.
And right now, I just want my heart to be full with Cubs victory. Like, I haven't said this on the show. I don't know if I will or not. But I'm going to game four.
Oh,
of the World Series, because my whole life I've been waiting
that's
for this.
That's a dream. That's such a dream.
They haven't won in 108 years, and this song probably kept them from winning other games because it's that terrible. Yeah. If they heard this, they were like, we should suck as much as the song does. Like, the singer's pretty good, but... How much they pay you to do this?
All right. I'm going to be completely honest right now. I sang jingles for... I was in a rock band through high school and college, and I was trying to go to college and touring with this rock band, and I worked for this company called TM Century that did jingles. They did everything from, like, radio tags, like, 95.5, you know, all that kind of stuff, and stuff like this, you know, where you submit, you know, there's, like, hey, like they just said, Chicago Cubs, they're looking for a cool new theme song to play on their WGN station.
And they couldn't find one. We're going to have you sing this anyway.
So this guy, one of the writers, I say that with quotes, writer producer, he's like, hey, I just got done singing like Dave and Sandy in the morning. You know, some awful song like that. He goes, hey, man, I got this Chicago Cubs pitch thing, you know, they're looking for something. I was like, oh, dude, I'm such a huge baseball fan. I was telling you earlier, huge Texas Rangers fan, you know, watched Nolan Ryan as a kid and all that. And I was like, dude, let's do it. And so we recorded this awful excuse for a song and it got picked up. It was the
OSA. Were you surprised it got picked up?
I was so surprised and kind of sick about it because they paid me $40. And that's it.
So it was okay. So you got paid a salary though to sing.
No,
no, you were contracted.
I got paid
$40. That's $40 too much though for that.
No, it is. They should have I should have paid them.
I mean, that. Listen, you sang it. Well, listen, I don't take anything away from the vocal ability of that. But listen, when I go Cubs go, go Cubs go, like that's the one that I.
That's cool.
That's
no,
the good one.
That's what
the
one,
when they win, that's what they play.
I was just doing my job, man.
I get it. So you talk about singing jingles. I think that's a fun thing to talk about because did you sing like a Friskies the Cat jingle or something?
I did, yeah. I sing, it's awful, you know, just this happy, like, you know, little toy piano thing that, and I have a buddy in New York who runs a music house that he does like Toyota, Nissan, Ford. He's done a ton of commercials. And sometimes when they need non-union singers, he'll give me a call. And still to this day, like, he'll be like, hey, man, you know, this company, they just want to do a one-time fee. Could you sing this thing? And, you know, it might get picked up, it might not. So I've sang so many jingles that haven't gotten picked up, but I've sang about, you know, six or seven that got picked
up. What has got picked up? Like, I'm curious to know if I would recognize any of them.
So Miller Lite, there was a commercial back in, I think, the 2011, 2012 World Series. Where this guy was putting a quarter in a jukebox, and every time he would hit a song he wanted to play, like Rocky Like a Hurricane by the Scorpions, it would come up as, is it Eric Carmen who sang, All by Myself?
Yes.
That song would play, and all I had to do was just sing it, you know? And I'm sitting at a bar in Cool Springs watching the World Series, and the guy was like, hey, man, it's down to you and another guy. I don't know if you'll get it, but check it out. And so I watch it.
It was actually Eric Carmen he was up against.
yeah, Eric Carmen himself. He needs the money. No, and it played, and I was like, that's not me. Like, that does not sound like me. And then he calls me. He's like, did you hear it? I was like, yeah, it wasn't me. He's like, no, it was you, dude. He's like, I had to put this crazy compression thing on it, but that's you. I was like, oh, my God. So
did you get paid for that? But since you're non-union, you get paid one time.
One time fee, yeah.
And that's what? What was that one? Do you remember?
The Miller Lite one?
Yeah.
It was a good amount.
Like over $1,000?
Oh, yeah.
Over $5,000?
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That, I have a buddy who did a commercial for like Ford or something, and he made he did three commercials. He made $380,000.
It's incredible. Yeah.
And so he made it, and he invested in a band and lost all and blew it all. I was like, you know, I could have given you about 100 investment ideas. Maybe Apple.
I don't know. Yahoo.
Walmart. I mean,
Dunkin' Donuts, maybe?
You pick Yahoo, who just went bankrupt. That's your first instinct. Maybe I should have, look at your money.
You
too.
Should. You should. I need. I was thinking of Alanis Morissette, who like invested early and made like $350 million.
At a point in our life, Yahoo was the search engine.
It was.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't Yahoo it, but it was like, go to Yahoo. You know, so you, it, we would go to yahoo.com. It was before Google.
Yeah.
And you searched on Yahoo. That's where we found it. For a minute to Ask Jeeves was a thing.
Ask Jeeves, yeah.
You'd go to the butler and you'd be like, Jeeves, where can I find information on the Scorpions? Or who sings Rock You Like a Hurricane?
Where's Dumb and Dumber playing this weekend?
Yes. And Jeeves, the butler, would tell you. But then Google took it up. Did you know Google was called Backrub before it was called Google?
No.
Yeah, it was called.
Why'd they change it?
The thing is, it wouldn't be. But here, okay, we laugh. But Google is a ridiculous word.
It is,
and
it
if
really
you,
is.
If I was back rubbing something right now online, and I was like, hey, they almost called this thing Google, we'd be like,
that's true.
Why would they pick such a stupid thing when back rub is awesome?
Hey, just back rub it.
Yeah, that's what we'd be like.
That does sound cool.
Hey, I'm gonna back rub Blue Apron to see what the how you know how much it. Listen,
that's pretty.
I don't
cool.
hate back rub. I know it sounds like you hate rub. It. I don't hate back rub, Brandon. I think you're being a little hater on back rub.
Do you like it?
So you're from Texas.
I am, yeah.
So being from Texas, and I'm from Arkansas, but I lived a long time in Texas, and I loved like Austin to me as home too. Like,
incredible.
Austin is my favorite. It's so good, and because the people are just chill.
They're chill, man.
But when you're in Texas, you have a lot of influences. So there's a lot of country music around you. There's a lot of Southern rock around you. There's a lot of rock around you. Yeah. So as you're growing up, you were deciding kind of where you wanted to go musically. Was it because a lot of your friends were rock friends that you decided, you're like, I want to do music, so I guess I'm going to go and try a rock band?
Man, I didn't have any friends. No, I'm just kidding. No, I originally wanted to be a professional pitcher. I wanted to play baseball professionally. I played football, baseball, basketball, track, all that kind of stuff. And I had to have two surgeries on my foot. I have like two screws this long in my foot. And so basically they were like, hey, man.
When you go this long, people that are only listening to this, they have no idea how long that is.
Oh, that's true.
Fingers.
This long.
Yes. Okay, that long. Okay, got it. Like now they
five,
see.
5-6 inches.
Now they see. The second time you go this long and
this
don't say
long.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so it took me out of sports completely. And so naturally I had to lay up with my foot up in the air. You know, it was such a major surgery. I had two surgeries for 6 months at a time. I couldn't do anything. And so I was like, well, you know, my brother plays drums and
for you now, even to this day,
yeah, he lives here in Nashville, and we're about to meet up and
you
go
can
to,
definitely tell it's Brandon's brother when you see them together. Like, for sure it's your brother. Like, there's nothing else. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. He's like a foot shorter though. I bought a guitar, a cheap guitar, with a little amp and everything. And I would seriously watch Stevie Ray Vaughan videos just on repeat. And I just watch
him. By the way, Texas native.
He's the dude. And my dad loves Stevie Ray Vaughan. And, so I started learning that stuff. But I also started learning, you know, a lot of my influences, like, you know, John Mellencamp, Metallica, Pantera, Garth Brooks, George Strait, Joe Diffie. Like, my house was a melting pot of music. And, you know,
I think our age, though, is that's like, if you're 20, how old are you?
29.
Okay, if you're 27 or above, is when you started to have Napster affect your yeah. life. And it's when that's the minds of everyone starting to change about music.
Exactly.
We got lots of influences.
Ooh.
More so than anybody else, because we started to be able to get it all the time, anywhere, as fast as we want, and for free.
Yeah.
I mean, illegally.
Yeah.
And listen, back in the day, not to interrupt your story, but I'm going to go. I must interrupt your story. Back in the day, I was so mad at Metallica for going
Me
against
too.
I was like, Metallica sucks. They hate Napster, and I get all the music for free, and I deserve all the music for free. I was such an idiot. I was an idiot. And Metallica was absolutely right. And That's right. This is people creating music. You should have to pay for
We're
that.
We're stealing from those people.
I stole like crazy. Yeah. I would just log on, hit the letter A, and then download every song that started with A, all formats. I would go to sleep at night and wake up with 500 songs that started with A and be like, let's see what I like today.
You're like, I don't like ABBA, but I'll listen.
Yes. So you're listening to all these types of music, and you have a guitar and a broken foot, basically.
Yeah.
So you just start learning to play guitar?
I don't know what it was. It was just almost like it was the only option. I didn't have sports anymore. I was horrible in school. And so I wanted to start a band with my brothers. And there you go. Come on.
Your brothers at the time.
So I have two older brothers, and I think that's why I had such a big influence of music. They were older than I was, and
so you listen to what they like, like what they like.
My brother, oldest brother Derek, would bring home like Aerosmith and like the Eagles and Don Henley. Don Henley is my favorite songwriter of all time.
Really?
And Boys of Summer, Heart of the Matter. That's what made me want to write songs, and so. Being here now, just like you said, doing music for a living, I look back, I'm like, man, I had BitTorrent, I had Morpheus, Napster, all that stuff. I was stealing.
And lots of viruses. Well, lots of viruses. Using those two?
It was awful. Yes. Yeah, I got in trouble a lot. But, you know, it's crazy, man.
So you decide to be in a rock band. Or was it a rock band or was it a punk band?
It was kind of both. We started out as a rock band, and it kind of turned into one of those pop punk bands.
What was the name of the band?
It was called Crimson Soul.
Oh yeah, I have some of that here. Oh.
Oh man, how did you find this?
This is called The Fight from Crimson Soul.
How do you
My favorite punk band. Don't look at the screen.
That's cool. No, I didn't look. I didn't see it.
Dang, dude, I'm into it, dude. So did you guys go out on the road?
We did, man. So in high school, it was just three of us. And, I would be in the marching band in high school.
You were in the marching band.
I was, yeah.
The guy that I thought was the douchebag for having his hair spiked and being so cool, because I thought he looked way cool,
was in the
marching band. Okay.
I was. And so me and my brother were in the drum line. We played snare and all that kind of stuff.
So you were a drummer.
I was, yeah. Wow. My brother Ryan taught me how to play drums. And so did Derek. Derek was a drummer as well. And so we were all on the drum line for Sand High School. Go Buffs. And we would play. We would do the halftime show. We'd play all the games and all that kind of stuff.
Is that Houston?
It's West Texas, like Big Spring.
Okay.
Big Spring, Midland, Odessa. And there, I mean, we were a 2A school, but we seriously had a college-sized stadium because...
That's how Texas does high school
football. Friday night football, man. Yeah. It's everything. Yeah. And so we would play that, and then we would go play a show either in our town that night or 60 miles away, like Midland. We'd play a show, and we'd do at least two or three shows a weekend. Like, my parents, I don't know what they were thinking. They were just like, oh, yeah, like, go to school and, go play Friday, Saturday, Sunday and come back, So that's kind of how I kind of cut my teeth in playing music and the grind of touring. And then we moved to Denton.
Big city.
Oh, yeah, big city. Right north of Dallas. And my brother went to North Texas. And I tried to go to some, little community college and tried to get an audio engineering degree. But we ended up leaving Denton. We did the whole Texas music scene, but we ended up going on the Warped Tour for 3 years.
Wow, you Warped Toured it for 3 years?
Oh, my God, man. It was the coolest, most miserable time of my life.
Where were you? I'm familiar with the Warped Tour because, again, my background in radio has been pop, alternative, hip-hop. So I've been to a bunch of Warped Tour shows, and how a Warped Tour works for everyone is, like, the show starts at, 11 a.m., and it goes until the end, and that's when, Blink-182 plays at the very end, if they decide it's one of their shows.
They fly in and they play.
Yeah, but really, it's a bunch of skateboarders.
Oh, my God.
And just bands all day long that you've never heard of. So if the show started at 11 a.m. and ended at midnight, what hour shift did you guys usually
play? We were about 9:30 a.m.
Oh, really?
You play it as you walk in.
The first year we did this, it was awful. We seriously played at 11 a.m. for nobody. And so the idea of Warped Tour, Haley Williams from Paramore, I think she had a documentary and she put it all out there. But it's so real. You pass out 10,000 flyers a day. You're just trying to get two people to come to your stage and watch you. Like, just come. Like, I know you want to go see Fall Out Boy later, but, you know, we're playing right before him. You should just come. Like, we'll give you a t-shirt. Like, it was anything, you know? So that was, like, the end of true music promotion. Like giving a flyer to somebody and word of mouth. And now it's awesome with social media, but that... You know, that time is no more. You don't hand out flyers.
Don't be sad
anymore.
About that. That sucks.
No, it sucks. No,
that
so bad.
Sucks. Like, I'm so sad we don't have to churn our own milk anymore. Those were the days.
Those were the days.
Now we have grocery
Make
stores.
Make our own quilts.
Man.
Jeez.
Back when times were simpler and much better.
Dude, we probably...
What's wrong with
we
you?
We probably paid Kinko's $20,000 yeah. total. Like, oh, it's horrible. But it really taught me about... promotion and really making fans and really the face-to-face eye contact that you make and appreciating those people because they're the people who are getting you those better slots on that tour. Or, you know, when you come back into that town, they're going to come see you at that crappy club you're playing at, you know?
So you do Warped Tour, you're with your brothers, you're in this punk band. So you're like, all right, this is not for me.
So basically, we went out to LA. I lived out in LA for about 6 months, and we had a development deal with Sony over there. And they had other bands like, I don't know if you remember a band called Forever the Sickest Kids and people
I
like
do.
That.
It
was the whole MySpace age.
He's a big, Mike's a big, Mike did a punk podcast for,
that's
for
awesome,
years
man.
Called the Everyday Destruction Podcast.
Oh, that sounds
that's
cool.
That's all they talked about was punk music. It was terrible. Musically.
It was awful.
Musically, it was terrible. Like, I admired Mike for doing it, and I'd listen to it, and I'd be like, hey, dude, and I would just, but it was like, music, I mean, I was like, this is awful. Like,
oh,
I
yeah.
I'll get in Mike's car, and it's just that mess of music.
Yeah.
Like that you were playing right there, like
that horrible, awful stuff.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
No.
So you go to LA. You're doing. You have a development deal.
So we're, you know, with MySpace, that was the whole thing. So any label that came to you, they were like, yeah, we were told we had to have at least 35,000 daily plays on our MySpace, and we're like, done. So we were up to like 40,000 spins every single day, you know, churning and grinding and getting people to just come on board and share our. Make it your profile song or whatever. And, you know, we would play at the Roxy, we'd play at the Whiskey and all those places. And other people's LA experiences are different. But mine was miserable and there was no community. There was no support or encouragement from anybody. So when we went out and started doing opening shows for Fall Out Boy and Sugar Colt and people like that, it was that same thing, you know, oh, you got to tour with Fall Out Boy? It's like, yeah, we played at 5:30 in the afternoon when the doors open for like 100 people, passed out our flyers and played at the club next door for an after party, you know, just to try to just capitalize on the opportunity. And man, for us personally, it was just dying and I knew where I wanted to be and I kept making trips to Nashville and writing and, you know, starting to get into the co-writing thing. And, you know, I love country music. I love writing it. I love singing it. And I love the fans because they're diehard fans. With rock music, it was like flavor of the week. You know, if, you know, you'd make all these fans say in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you'd have a good turnout and you come back 2 months later and nobody cares, you know.
With country, and this is... what I see all the time, it's so much more artist driven. Pop is song driven. Rock is let's just see what happens this month. Like, and that's
so
real. That's really the difference. Like,
it is so true.
Like in pop, it's like how good is your song. In country, like if once you have fans that like that artist, the country music listener is a loyal person. Listener,
truly.
Like if you're a Luke fan and you've been a Luke fan, you will always be a Luke fan the rest of your life. If he may go to a polka album, but dang it, you're going to download that Luke record
it's
or go buy
go
it at Walmart and all his fans. But yes, country music, it is about the artist. You need that first song. You have to get those songs to get people to notice the artist. But once they're in on the artist, and I have that in the radio world too, it's like I have the greatest listeners and I will do the worst segments, the worst, terrible segments. And they'll be right there.
Oh, man.
And the ratings come in, and I'm like, I don't even know why people were listening. I have no idea. Like, we had I looked at last week's shows, they weren't that good. Can't believe the ratings are that good. You know, it's just the culture of the town, the format, the music. And so you move to town because you realize that's kind of the environment that you want to be in.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the reason?
Yeah, the community. I think it was the biggest thing, you know, in the rock world, in LA, and, you know, just the whole culture of it was so just dark, and it was so lonely, you know, it was like every man for himself, so cutthroat. And here, you know, it is kind of competition,
it's a creative industry. There's always a ton of competition because there are two slots and there are 7,000 people.
That's it, man.
So it's always competitive. But it's not just music. Any sort of acting.
Right.
Any creative field, it's 7,000 people going for two spots.
That's right, man.
But you're right. As competitive as it is, this town is very warm in working together.
That's it. It's very encouraging, supportive. And, you know, I always say, anytime I invite a friend of mine from Texas or somewhere to come visit, half the time they end up moving here because they feel the same way. Even if it's not music related, they're like, I just love this town. I love the people. I love just, you know, everything about it.
When did you move to Nashville?
2009.
Okay. And so you move here and you just started playing guitar for people?
Yeah. So I would go to writers nights and writers rounds where, you know, if you don't know what that is, there's four people on stage playing songs they write one at a time and telling stories about them. And I would just go and want to learn, you know? And so I started making friends, started co-writing with those friends and singing those demos. And so my friends with publishing deals would turn those songs into their publishers and they'd be like, oh, who's this singing? Who is this, the guy you wrote it with? And they're like, yeah. And so that's how I kind of, you know, got into that, getting a publishing deal and also playing guitar for different people.
I still feel like you're a better singer than you are anything else, which is crazy.
Well, thanks, man.
Because you're an elite singer.
Thanks,
and I had
dude.
No idea. I thought you were just a really good guitar player. And then he starts singing, and you're like, oh, here's what I'll do at Raging Age. I won't let him sing until like after the second half of the show, because then people will just be like, can he sing some more? So I keep him. So he plays, and he kills it. And then as we get to the second half, I'm like, all right, Brandon, you're up. And then he just crushes it. Like I was watching your YouTube channel. And again, I don't blow smoke, but I was watching a YouTube channel, and there's a song from Shawn Mendes called Mercy. I'm saying, baby, please have mercy on me. Take it easy on my heart. And Brandon is doing a cover of it, and I'm like, God, I knew he could sing, but it's so good. I'm saying, baby, please have mercy on me. Take it easy on my heart, even though you don't mean to hurt me. You keep tearing me apart. Would you please have mercy, mercy on my heart? Would you please have mercy, mercy on my heart? It's weird because you're such a good guitar player and you're such a good singer too. Like, what do you want to be known as?
Man.
Everybody pigeonholes everybody.
Everybody does. Yeah, you're so right.
And as you think about that, I'll give you an example. I'm going to go back to the Luke Bryan thing. Nobody knows how good of an art, like actual musician Luke Bryan is. The general mass thinks he's a guy with some good songs. He gets up on stage and he dances and puts on a good show. The guy will take a guitar or he'll take a piano and just crush it. And yeah. You're like, oh, I get it. Okay, this is why he's phenomenal. This is why he gets to do what else. This is why he gets to play Macklemore in the middle of a set, because he was so good at doing everything at the beginning.
That's it.
So, okay, I'm pigeonholing you into where? Where do you want to pigeonhole?
Man, that's such a crazy question, because with everybody, even you, there's so many layers to who you are. And the more you experience that artist, the more you get to know those layers.
You throw seven layers at someone on first impression, though, they don't get
it's crazy.
Any layers.
They don't.
You get no
they
layers if you throw seven at first. What's the layer you want people to get first thing? Is it the guy that's the fantastic singer, or is it the guy who's the killer guitarist?
I would say singer, man.
Say singer. That was your answer. I was going to make it be your answer. But yes.
You're like, he's holding up a sign right now that
no,
says singer.
I'm really not, but it's got to be singer.
It's got to be. That's your first listening impression. Nobody really knows Keith Urban plays all those solos, but he does.
You're
but
absolutely right about that. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Like, it's amazing. Like, me as a guitar player, I listen to, you know, if Brad Paisley comes on, or Keith Urban, or, you know, any of those people, when that solo comes, I'm like, oh my God, like, it's so good.
The nerds like it?
The
like
nerds
us?
Like it.
Like us?
Yeah.
But most people, they just want to hear a good song.
They want to hear Keith Urban sing. You know what I'm saying? They want to hear that song. That's what they know. That's what they identify with. And, you know, if I'm up on stage playing and I go into a solo, it's cool. But even with guys like Keith Urban, when they go into a solo, the people start looking side to side or start looking at their phone because the singing aspect has to be there. That's the first thing that hits their ears, and that's all they know.
Listen, I'm not saying that. I've watched Urban play solos for 4 hours.
It's amazing.
Like that dude, you may hear this after the CMAs. Like, he may want to entertain. I don't know what he's going to do. But that's one of the most, he's such a fantastic live artist. But that's what you can do too. Like, once you get live, you can do all your stuff. But most people don't get to see people live.
Right.
Like, 98% of people don't get to see Keith Urban live. They just hear what's on the radio and become a fan. I don't get to see a lot of people live because of my job. I get to see them in the studio.
Right.
But I don't, I saw Keith Urban at iHeartRadio Music Festival for the first time play a full show. It was a year ago. Blown away.
Oh, it's crazy.
And he'd played it in my studio 7 times.
But also, a lot of people don't get to experience that side of it, too. So that's really cool.
Oh, nobody gets to experience what studio stuff is. It's ridiculous.
It's incredible.
Sometimes I have to thump myself right in the nads because I'm like taking the moment. Like when Garth Brooks comes in and plays songs.
That's ridiculous.
And I can touch him. And he tells me to stop.
Did you touch him?
Yeah. That's cool. He was like, stop touching me. So, okay, listen to this. Here's a Justin Timberlake cover of Drink You Away. As you're hearing these covers, I'm going to remind you that you can go and you can download or you can stream, whatever. Brandon has 2 songs that are up now. American Way. Can we work all week and smoke that town till the freaking weekend comes rolling? American Way. And we party all night. Clap, clap. And we sleep all day. Baby, ain't that the American way? Come on! Yeah. And that could be us. That could be us by sunrise. I like that you do the covers, though, because you know what? That's how you get attention. Some people are so against it, and I respect that because that's their thing, and everybody should have the right to what they want to be as an artist.
There you go.
And there are artists who are like, you know what? The covers aren't for me. And I'm like, cool. It's going to be a little harder road, and I'm glad you have that. But what you do is people Google, they back rub. You know, they back rub different artists.
They back rub it.
Or they back rub like covers of songs, and they may watch 10 Justin Timberlake, they're like, holy crap, who is this Brandon Ray dude? Which leads to your music.
That's it, man. And during a live show, same thing. Some artists are like, nah, if I'm going to open, I'm going to do 100% my songs. And that's totally cool. But when you're the opening slot in front of whoever, in front of John Party, Kip Moore, whoever, and those people have no idea who you are, you've got to find a way to identify with them to then introduce your own stuff.
You're so right on. I tell people all the time, never be ashamed to cover.
Ever.
Because
put your own spin on it.
People just want to hear stuff they know and like. And if you're playing neither, and most times they don't like new music.
Right.
Because it needs to be something they know or just freaking phenomenal. And it's hard for something to be phenomenal that you never heard before. It takes a few times.
It's true.
And so you can nail them with a cover. And you get a little bit of credit, so look at them here. You do a little something yourself. Oh, there's a couple of those. All right, cool. Yeah. That's not so bad. Cool, now play Mambo number 5. One of my favorite things that Brandon does is his Donald Trump impression. Is one of the best I've ever heard of, like, in my life. Because he'll send me messages of him. Wrong. I don't do it. But we were on the did you watch the last one, the Sketch 3?
I did.
Where he's like, I talked to the Mexican president, Mr. Guacamole.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Oh, you haven't seen that one?
I haven't
that
seen
one?
It.
Okay. So can't.
Wrong.
Yeah. We'll be talking. Wrong. Do it. Give us a little Donald Trump here.
So at soundcheck at, I believe, the Arkansas show, I don't know if you noticed, but I was like, my microphone, it's broken. Obama broke it. Hillary stole it. I win. Wrong.
So, Bennett's microphone is broken. Can we get him a new one? Does this one work okay, Mr. Trump?
Test. Check. It's wrong. It's all wrong. I am the best singer on the planet. Earth.
Wow. What would you say to the people that don't agree with that, Mr. Trump?
Listen, I respect microphones more than anyone.
More than anyone.
On the earth. I'm bigly supportive of microphones.
You're bigly supportive. Bigly. Okay. I mean, we get on the bus and we laugh so much. Like, and I think a key, and this is going to sound stupid, but you said it earlier. And I was doing a show called American Supergroup, okay? Yeah. So it's a show where they're putting a band together, and the hosts are Jennifer Nettles, not hosts, the judge, Jennifer Nettles, Aloe Black, who I've become buds with. But he's the voice on Wake Me Up When Things Get Older.
Oh, he's so good.
He's so good,
he's
right?
He's amazing.
It's Aloe Black. It's Elle King.
Oh, yeah.
She, you know, she has X's and O's, and she's on Different for Girls with Dierks. And so they're the judges. I wanted to mentor the country band, and they're like, "Hey, tell us how to, you know, do be a band." And you know, and I'm like, "Listen, you're all good, or you wouldn't be here. But let me give you a big tip: be a great hang.
Those four letters are everything.
If people want you around, they have you around more. And when you're around more, you get shots to do more things.
That's it."
And Brandon's a great hang. Sorry, hang.
Great what?
And I think that's also the environment of, you know, of what we try to do, the Raging Idiots. I only bring people around that are great hangs, from Nikita, Natalie, Stovall. I mean, I just today I got, you know, Lindsay L is now my girlfriend. Which is
dude,
totally,
I thought I was your special friend.
You know, you are my special
friend. What is happening?
You're now into that special friend
okay.
spot.
Okay.
But, I mean, they're just such fun people that it was like, let's do another show. I'll have them back again because they're so much fun to hang around with.
Right. Dude, congrats, by the way.
I have a girlfriend. There's no congratulations.
No, congrats.
No. You know what shows me how big of a loser I am? Is when I'm getting 1,000 congrats for getting a girlfriend, something most people do all the time. Hey, dude, congrats on driving to work today. Wait. Most people drive to work every day. Why are you congratulating me on driving to work today?
Like big that, accomplishment, man.
There was a tweet that was like, you know what, Bobby? It showed me that even normal guys can get hot girls if normal guys have their own radio show, New York Times bestseller, and you're in a band. And I was like, that's funny.
Wow, that's pretty funny.
That's funny.
That's pretty great.
So, okay, so here you are now. Like, what's the goal as you sit right here beside me? Like short term and long term.
Short term is I just got married about a year ago.
You just had an anniversary a few weeks ago.
Yes,
and who knew me? And I don't know any dates, and I don't care,
dude.
I don't even care about my stuff,
dude. Like, when you showed up to my house, it was so nice.
Yeah, I was in a Cupid outfit,
dude.
Yeah,
it was weird.
It was weird. It was really weird.
He's wearing a toga.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
So you've been married a little over a year.
Yeah, and it's just been awesome. And, you know, being gone, you know, sometimes she gets to go with me. She sings backgrounds in the band and everything. And, you know, sometimes people set goals like, oh, I want to buy, you know, the biggest house I can find. I want to buy a car. I want to do all this stuff. Honestly, like, I want to be able to get to a point where my wife can quit her job. She manages and bartends and works her butt off.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Aww.
No.
Like a little bit. I wasn't expecting the answer.
Come on.
I was like, I'm going to land a deal and I'm going to make a lot of stadiums. The fact that you said that and it came to you so instinctually, like that, your visceral reaction was, I'd like to get my wife to a place where she can quit her job and just, dude, you are a good dude. Like I was on the edge.
Who knew?
I was on the edge.
You were on the edge.
That wasn't a plan.
You thought I was a douche this whole time. Man. It's the hair. I know.
Wow.
No, man. Whatever capacity that my music can reach, I'll always be thankful for. The fact that it's come this far, the fact that I'm sitting here with you is like, it's amazing to
me.
I'm
cool, yeah. I'm really cool.
No, you're like, and yeah. Mike D's over here looking all cool.
Dude, you're right now, remember this moment. Mike, you should take a picture of this and turn the lights on so he remembers it.
Hashtag big time.
This is probably the peak of his life being on
Wrong.
The Bobby Cat.
Wrong.
of all the
he's
cast.
Actually doing it.
Yes, yes.
Oh, it's so bright.
Actually, we take a picture anyway and put it on, and put it online.
Do we pose or what?
No. We just continue doing and it gets posted.
All right.
So,
okay, cool.
Are you sucking in?
I have to suck in. I didn't, ate a little too many donuts this week. No, whatever, like I said, whatever capacity the music goes to, I'm so thankful for. Being out with you guys, you and Eddie have taught me a lot about...
Now don't BS here. Like, no. Say something, be sincere. That's the only rule of this podcast.
I'm being so sincere.
Go ahead.
I'm being so sincere, and I incorporate this into my live show now. My attitude and the music that I make, I really think caters to the blue collar, the hard worker. You know, my dad was he worked 35 years for the Union Pacific Railroad, worked his butt off, putting food on the table. My mom worked, and you know, just him being gone all that time, and you know, I saw that, and we were dirt poor, like we didn't have anything, and so. Having that example growing up and, you know, going and playing for those crowds, you know, I'm going to Iowa and Nebraska, Minnesota, and all those regions where people work 60 hours a week. They just want to get off work, go to a show, grab a beer or whatever with their friends or their wife and just chill and listen to some music. And if we can be that escape for those people, that's incredible. And what I was saying about you guys is if, at this event that I'm playing, wherever it is, if one person leaves with a smile on their face, then I've done my job and I've done what I'm here to do. I just want to make people happy. I want them to forget about their problems and their worries for 45 minutes. You know, whatever's been, you know, getting them down during the week, whatever, you know, whatever problem they have, if they can just escape that for 45 minutes, then that's what we're here for, is to give that entertainment, to give that care and that just attention to those people, to where they can just have a great time for a little bit. And, you know, they might have to go back and do what they do, but at least they had that.
Do you still take shows and lose money?
Definitely.
A lot of artists that you wouldn't think. Here's the thing too about artists is that even the ones that, because people hear a song and they're like, oh, for sure, millionaires. Like,
yeah.
I have artist friends who have had 1, 2, 3 songs. And they're like, dude, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
Just because you get a song on the radio doesn't mean you're rich. And then I have friends that they go and they're like, I need to play the show. I need to play well. So I got to hire a band. And they're paying $1,000, but the band's going to cost me $800. And we have to drive, we have to fly. So you lose money on shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you're, definitely. But it's an investment.
It is. It has to be. And if you're worried about losing money, you shouldn't be doing this. If that's your only thing is financial gain, then you might want to stop.
And that's, let me tell you a funny story. And that's for any creative industry. Like, if you're getting into it for money, get out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went to a college and spoke once. And I went and I said, okay. I just want to be honest. The only thing I have is my authenticity. That's it. I'm not super talented in any other way. So I said, okay, I'm going to just be honest with you guys. Like, if you're here now and you're studying radio in college, just get out, like change your major. It was a radio class I was speaking to.
Yeah.
So obviously the college wasn't excited that I was telling of their kids. So they banned me from speaking there.
No.
Yeah. You remember that, Mike?
Yeah, that's my college.
It's his college.
Dude.
But the thing I would tell them is, you know, listen, if you're going to be a music engineer, you're learning that. But you don't go to college to be unless it's like Juilliard and you can get in.
Yeah.
You know, you
do
don't
do that.
You don't go to, you know, the University of North Texas to be a rock star.
No.
You just get out and start rock starring it.
That's it.
And so the same way with being on the radio or acting or, you know, so, and also what I say is if there's any money in your mind, you can't.
No.
There's none in it. Even in this, I've been lucky. Frankly speaking, I'm one of the 1% that is just, and a lot work ethic, some luck, and having great people around me.
That's the big, those three things are the biggest things.
Like,
you've got to show up, don't be a douche, and surround yourself with
God, so key.
People with the same goals as you and that you work so well together with. That shows with you. I mean, you have the same team as you did in Austin. How many years ago was that?
I mean, I've had Amy for 11 years. Lunchbox for 12 years. Eddie was my TV producer for 10. He joined the radio show. Mike D was an intern. Ray was an intern. Morgan was an intern. Like, I just do things with my people because I need good people around me. I need people I trust. I didn't do this. I worked, let's see, I started when I was 17. So I worked 8 years making minimum wage. 8 years working minimum wage. And loved it. Every freaking minute of it. And would do it again and would have kept doing it.
There you go.
Like, I would have just done radio and survived or gotten a second job because I loved it so much. And that's when people are like, okay, I want to do radio or I want to do music. The first thing I say is, would you do it for free? Would you do it having to have another job? And if the answer is yes, freaking go for it. If the answer is no, it's just not for you. Get out because it's not worth it. You're going to waste your time. Right. You're going to waste time. You're going to waste what you're going to waste whatever you can do to get to this other place in another lane.
That's it.
So
for me, man, I was out playing for Brett Eldridge. It was incredible.
Playing
that,
guitar.
That guy. Yeah. That guy is.
Were you playing lead?
I was playing lead. Dang, switching off you. with
Dang,
Greg.
How about you? Look at this guy over here playing lead.
No. But
were you singing harmonies and stuff too?
Yeah. I do all the highs with Brett.
Yeah.
Which Brett is an incredible singer. Yeah. I mean, spot on every single time. And, we got to do the Taylor Swift tour, which was incredible, you know. And
how was it dating Taylor?
It was weird.
Yeah,
you know, when I got pregnant, it was crazy.
Yeah, totally weird.
Didn't make the news though. I don't know.
No, it was because it wasn't true. So
it's weird. No, but in the middle of all that, you know, I was like inside. I was like, okay, like this is great. This is really cool being able to be out here and play guitar. But this is not why I moved here. And a good friend of mine, Seth England, who runs Big Loud Shirt Publishing. He's also Florida Georgia Lions manager. I went and played some songs for him, you know, and I was, you know, just wanted some advice. And he's like, dude, what are you doing playing for other people? You need to quit today. I was like, well, dude, we're about to go on the Keith Urban tour. Like, we're like opening, like it's big, you know? And so I made the decision to quit. And a couple weeks later, I did a show.
Like, hold on a second. Not a couple weeks later. You make the decision to quit. Do you have to go to Brett and say, hey, dude? And how does he react to it?
Yeah. So I kind of came into the whole thing. I let him know, you know, hey, I have a publishing deal. I'm doing the artist thing. This is my ultimate goal. I can be here for however long you need me to, but I just want you to know that I have an exit plan. And he's like, of course, man. He's like, I just love having you around. You know, we kill it together. So
you're
let's
good let hang.
Good let hang. Yeah. Hang. And so they knew, and it was such a great understanding, you know? And then, so I did this show, my solo show, and Seth and the FGL guys came out, and, after the show, Seth's like, hey man, let's talk real quick. I was like, oh, Seth, you know, he's going to tell me he enjoyed it, you know? And he goes, hey man, you want to play guitar for FGL? I was like, you just told me to quit.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I'm so confused right now, man. Like, what is happening? Like, and he goes, listen, like they saw your performance, they dug it, and they're like, they need a guitar player. So I'm just passing along the word. And so I was like, oh man, that's amazing. Like that's such a great opportunity. Cruz had went number one and all that stuff. And, I really took a lot of time to think about it. That's not something you just take lightly. And I came back to Seth and I said, man, your original advice to me spoke to me so much that that's what I'm going to do. Like, I hope you guys find, you guys are going to be fine. You'll find a guitar player, but this is what I have to do. And, that was a defining moment for me. And I still have that same drive times 10, because it's not like I have to make this happen. I have to make the money and blah, blah, blah. No, it's because it's running through my veins. It's what I want to do. I'm about to get in a van and drive 14 hours to Iowa and play a show tomorrow night and play four more shows this weekend. I will probably break even, maybe lose a little bit of money. But the opportunity is a great opportunity.
Wrong.
You're wrong.
Wrong. You'll lose a lot.
You lose a lot of money. Talk to me.
but you love it.
I love it. And I don't love it as a hobby. I love it because it's the only thing that I want to do and the only thing that I can do.
So, okay, you're out playing, like, are you trying to make music? The process of making music so you can get a record deal, like, what is that? Like, how do you do it? What do you do? What do you do? I don't know.
Yeah, it's different for everybody. Everybody has a different path. Some people, it's who they know. Some people, it's how they're already connected or whatever. And I think it is a big mixture of everything. But it's listening to those people that are closest to you and that are putting their lives out on the line for you and sticking their neck out for you. And that advice and that support and encouragement is everything in the process. And so when you're in the writing room, you've got to think about, you've got to always be yourself, and you know, you can't fake real. And so whenever I go into the writing room, whenever I get on stage, I'm going to be me. I'll be goofy. I'll cry. I'll say some dumb stuff, but I'm always going to be me and be authentic. Like you said,
do you still pull your penis out?
Do I do what?
Pull your penis out on stage.
I mean, you have to do what you have to do.
Like, not for Martinez shows, but for like Kip shows. Who'd you write American Way with?
So this is the funny thing. I didn't write American Way.
What?
Kip Moore.
It's so you and your. It's like. Dude, well, I hear thanks. It. I think it's so, a perfect song for you.
So I never. I write basically every day, and I love it, and it's what I do. But Nick Brophy, who I started working with, production and all that kind of stuff, Nick also mixes and produces Kip. And he's like, dude, you got to check out this song. Like, Kip didn't put it on his record. I wrote it with Kip and Brett James, is a songwriting hero of mine. And I heard it. I was like, dude, that's a cool song, man. And so when I left there, I was like, whatever. For a week, I was like, Lee-bo-day. It was Lee-bo-day. Just like you were doing.
Lee-bo-day. It was Lee-bo-day. We sleep all day, then we sleep some more. That's not how it goes. Dude, that's how we sing it back to
That's them. How we sing it. But I just kept thinking about it. I was like, listen, you know, that is the type of song that I want to write and I want to perform. So I probably tried to write that song 5 or 6 times and it didn't work. It was never the same as that. And so I asked Nick, I was like, hey man, like, would it be cool if I just put my vocal on it and maybe just start playing it out, just see how people react to it? He's like, of course. And Kip was cool with it. And so I did that and the reaction was incredible. And so it kind of taught me to step away from myself for a second. And
is that hard to take somebody's song? Dude, that song is so you. I thought you wrote it.
Thanks, man.
And I interview some people, I'm careful about going, hey, no. I know you wrote this song. I'm always like, hey, this song that you sing and ask questions, that song is so you, I thought you wrote it. I didn't even think twice about it.
Well, thanks, man. I mean, and that was the goal, because it became so undeniable to me that I was like, man, I have to do something with this song, you know? And so I did, and here we are.
So what about this other one here? That could be us.
That could be us.
Did you write this one?
I did.
It's a real turd. It's a real
Thank
turd.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I wrote it with a guy named Bobby. he's got a radio show.
Listen, this song is really good. This song is good. Like,
thanks,
this,
man.
This is like, this reminds me of like New Age Country Jack and Diane, the first one, right? This is like a newer age Jack and Diane to me.
Thanks, man.
This, That Could Be Us, this one like gives me this, the feels a little bit.
Come on, like, man. In your current situation.
Now that I have a girlfriend, I'm like, come on.
Makes you want to go get some flowers. Maybe watch a rom-com.
Great that we have like 3 microphones in here. Mr. Trump, what kind of music do you listen to?
You know, I try to listen to what the world loves.
Yeah? What does the world love? Like, I mean, that's a pretty vague statement, Mr. Trump. Like, you're running for president. Like, I'm curious, what kind of music in your iPhone, Mr. Trump, what do you listen to?
Spice Girls.
A lot of Spice Girls, yeah. And your favorite Spice Girl would be which one?
Baby.
Baby.
Oh, baby.
All right. Brandon Ray has been here with us. Dude, good luck. I think you're at that place where it's like you're finding yourself right now. You're grinding and you're finding, and I just see how good you are, and I'm anxious to kind of see where you land.
Thanks, man.
Because it's cool, because you're really freaking good.
I appreciate
it,
man.
Like, you're really good. And if you ever come out, Brandon's playing with us. I'm trying to think. It's hard to get Brandon because he's all over the place. But I know you're doing Albuquerque, which sold out in like 3 seconds. So we're gonna have to like expand the theater. I'm telling you, Albuquerque's nuts.
We're gonna have to break down some walls or something.
You just kick them. We'll just go outside.
We'll just turn it into a festival,
and then we're playing Vegas again. So if you're in either one of those places, Or go to Brandon Ray, that's Twitter, at Brandon Ray Music, and go watch them for yourself. But I'm just saying, like, dude, for real. I mean, anybody that sings this song, Let's Go Cubs.
You know you love it.
Like, I'm a Cub fan, and I'm a little insulted.
You should be.
How bad that is.
I needed that $40.
No, it actually isn't that bad. At Brandon Ray Music. At Brandon Ray Music. Dude, good luck. I hope it goes great. Have a good trip. Nice little road trip ahead of
you. Thanks, man.
Ahead of you.
We're taking the bus van.
The bus van.
Yeah. Did you see my text? I'm in the creepy van outside. Yes.
Yeah. He got here early, and he was like, I'm so sorry I'm here early. I'm like, you're here early? I have an erection.
Whoa. Cover that up.
Early, you say?
Early?
I don't even need a picture. Thank you. And good luck, my friend. Good luck.
Thank you so much, man.
All right. Brandon Ray Music on Twitter and Instagram. Also, thanks to Mr. Trump for stopping by.
No problem.
I think you've exceeded everyone's expectations. And when people hear this in a few weeks, maybe you're president.
Oh, no. I mean, okay. That's cool.
Wrong.
Wrong. All right. We're going to go. Yeah. I'm not full of crap. I did, first of all, I played Brandon stuff on the radio. So that just tells you already, I think he's good. I don't just bring people on here that I don't think is good.
I was driving down I was heading to Georgia with my band, and it was 7:38 in the morning. We had it up, and we were just like flipping out. Cause like, the feeling of hearing your song on the radio for the first time or any time is surreal, and the fact that you did that, I can't thank you enough.
Well, even like I've played covers of yours on the air, and then I did a thing where I'm like, hey, these are the five artists that you don't know yet, but you need to know. And it was you and Ryan Beaver and Walker Hayes and Caitlin Smith and
Cody Johnson.
Oh yeah, Cody Johnson. He's from Texas.
Yeah, Ryan is too. Ryan's a dear friend of mine.
Dude, let me talk about Ryan Beaver. So we're at the gym working out, right? Ryan and I both are. And so Ryan lived in Austin when I did. We moved here at the same time. And so, he goes, hey. I'm like, yeah, what's up? He goes, how you doing? I'm like, good, how you doing? He goes, good. I don't put it together yet that it's Ryan because he's in workout clothes and a hat.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I just want to say I really appreciate you. I still don't know who it is. I don't even know that it's an artist. I'm like, well, I appreciate you too, man.
You go, like, buddy.
I appreciate your spirit of working out as well, my workout friend, champ. And so... his trainer was like, this is Ryan Beaver. And I was like, dude, I'm such a fan of yours. Yeah. And like, we want to get Ryan up here too. And if you're listening, check out Ryan Beaver's stuff. That album, you'll read it, R little X, like prescription.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Every song. I was signed with Ryan at a small publishing company. He just left there. But we were on that in that company for 2 years. And all of those songs he wrote, 2-3 years ago. And so I would hear the work tapes, the song If I Had a Horse and all these kinds of, I have the acoustic work tapes, and I play them all the time. And the fact that he came out with a record like that just is incredible. He's you got to check him out.
Yeah, check out Ryan, check out Brandon Ray. Just leave you on a little song called American Way. Yeah, we work all week in a smokestack town to the freaking weekend comes. I'm gonna make you bleed.
I wanna see you put your hands up. He's got a black eye
from a scuffle with Hank. We're gonna go now because the Cubs started playing just now.
All right, we gotta go.
It's game two.
That's the theme song, man.
And that's a wrap. Episode 16 with Brandon Ray at Brandon Ray Music. Thank you all. We'll see you episode 17. We'll see you soon. Bye, everybody.